Hi, I'm at the Matrix booth and I'm talking to...
Matthew Hodgson. I'm the tech co-founder of Matrix.
So, tell us, what is Matrix?
So Matrix is an open standard for interoperable decentralized communication. So the idea is to try to provide a neutral fabric for communication on the web, which links together all of the different silos out there today which can't talk to one another. So that's making WhatsApp talk to Skype, talk to Facebook, talk to IRC, talk to XMPP, talk to the PSTN, and everything in between.
And Matrix does this, does it?
It does most of it. So we've got bridges today through to IRC on Freenode, Mozilla Network, and a whole bunch of others. Plus, you can run your own IRC bridges too. We have Slack, Gitter, Telegram. The community have contributed iMessage and Facebook Messenger. So the dream is really coming true.
So I could use any of these clients to communicate with the other ones within... There's got to be... a star next to that.
Yeah, there's a little catch. At the moment, a lot of the bridges are focused on group chats and rooms. So the idea is that if you have a community which has ended up split between IRC and Slack and Gitter, which is a combination we're seeing way too often, unfortunately, at the moment, then on the Matrix side, you can create a Matrix room and bridge that into the other three ones. So the people on IRC will be able to see and talk to the people, etc., and link it all together. Now, for a one-to-one conversation, that is also supported, for instance, for IRC private messages going through to Matrix and direct messages. And in theory, you should be able to go all the way through from a private message on, say, IRC to a private message on Telegram. And we're just getting to the point of wiring that in now. But it's still, honestly, in development. But patches are very welcome.
Oh, cool. And so I come up with a new service like WhatsApp or something. How would you go about integrating that?
So there are basically three components in the Matrix ecosystem. You have servers or home servers, which store all of your conversation history, and they're kind of like a mail server. And the cool thing about those, by the way, is that if you're running your own server, and I'm running my own one, the conversation is completely replicated over both. So no single entity owns or controls that conversation. It's kind of like Git rather than Subversion or CVS or whatever. And basically none of the other chat systems do that. And it's cool because it subversively, aggressively decentralizes everything. I cannot talk to you without decentralizing ownership of that conversation. So those are the servers. Then you have clients, which are pretty boring. Not boring, but they're sort of all the typical chat clients. They look like Slack. They could be a command line thing like WeChat, or they could be a desktop client like Quaternion or Nachat. And then finally, to actually answer your question, you have bridges, which are the application services that link the existing services like WhatsApp or Skype or whatever into the rest of Matrix. And these are basically clients, but on steroids, in that they can impersonate an entire network. So if you just created a new chat system like, I don't know, Wire, for instance, and you wanted to link that into Matrix, then the bridge is actually quite simple because it just needs to talk to Wire, obviously, on one side, and then it's basically a big cluster of Matrix clients on the other side. And the Slack bridge, for instance, is 100 lines of code. And it really is 100 lines of JavaScript, for better or worse, built on top of our Matrix App Service Bridge library. And it's designed to make it really, really easy for people to take their favorite protocol and bridge it into the rest of Matrix.
So I've been forced to use lots of applications that I don't necessarily want to use. And I want to use something that comes with a free and open source desktop. Can I then use Matrix to plug in the gaps?
Absolutely. So that's really the classic use case on the bridging side of things. So Matrix itself is a protocol, and it's a software foundation that looks after the protocol. Then there are lots of different apps built on top of it. Riot is the name of the kind of flagship client at the moment, and that's available completely open source, completely Apache licensed, on desktop as an Electron app, on the web, on iOS as a native iOS app, and on Android as a native Android app. Plus, it's available on F-Droid as well as the Google App Store, or Google Play Store, I should say. And that's kind of the classic way in which many people choose to use Matrix, of going and firing up that app, bridging the rooms into Slack or IRC or whatever, and basically using it as a huge decentralized bouncer, but not just for IRC, but all of your conversations. So they're liberated, we say, into Matrix, and you can then use the Matrix APIs against your own home server or someone else's, or you can use the matrix.org one, and you basically get control of your conversations again in an open standard set of APIs.
And I'll be able to log all those and search them, and I have my history again.
You have the history, you have full text search, and we use Postgres and SQLite as the databases by default on it. You basically regain control at last, and we bust open the walls of the walled gardens like WhatsApp and Skype.
So what do I need to run this on?
So the typical server that people use if they're running their own server is Synapse, which is written in Python and Twisted, and it runs anywhere really that can run Python and Twisted. There are Debian deb files published in our repository. People make RPMs. It's in part of the BSD ports process, ports system, and there are really lots of different packages of Synapse. On the client side, it's dead easy because Riot as a web app is just static HTML and JavaScript. So you just get a tarball, expand it, and run it. And on iOS and Android, it's just in the stores. So the easiest way to get up and running is probably to use the default matrix.org server to try it out. And then if you like it, run your own server and have all of your clients connect to that instead.
Would it run on a Raspberry Pi 3?
It does run on a Raspberry Pi 2 and 3.
Well, there you go. I think I'm going to terminate this conversation and go try it now. No, I won't. I have more interviews to do. But what has been the cool stuff last year and what's the cool stuff next year?
Well, almost all of last year was putting in end-to-end encryption, which I haven't mentioned at all yet, actually, but it's one of the most important things that we have here, that because the conversation history is replicated over all of those different servers, if it's not encrypted, that's quite a big attack surface. You're trusting a lot of random servers and sysadmins. Everybody who participates in the room basically will have a copy of it. So if you want any privacy, you have to have end-to-end encryption. And what we did was to implement a new system called Ulm, which is an implementation of the Axolotl, now called the Double Ratchet, that was invented by Open Whisper Systems for use with Signal. And we went and wrote an Apache licensed version of it in C++ 11 with C wrappers on it. And we got it audited by NCC Group, and we actually paid, well, in part funded by the Open Tech Fund, for a public audit to prove that even though we'd written our own crypto, it didn't suck. And indeed, they gave us a very good audit, and that was back in September of last year. And we started the beta in November, and since then, we've been gradually rolling it out across, starting with the official Matrix client SDKs and Riot, which is built on top of them. And we're in late beta now. We just launched a new version this morning for FOSDEM, especially Riot 0.9.7, get it whilst it's hot, which includes the latest fixes to the Ulm ratchet there. And we also created another ratchet called MegOM, which is the group conversation one. So the way it works is that you encrypt per device rather than per user, which is pretty cool. So if you want to blacklist a particular device receiving your messages, you can. And you set up one-to-one channels to those devices via the classic Axolotl Ulm ratchet. And then over those channels, you share the group encryption session data for the group conversations. So basically, if you have 1,000 people in a room, which we support for the encrypted chat, then you only need to have one-to-one conversations between all of those 1,000 people to set up the group ratchet that then everybody respectively shares, which is a big novelty.
What's a group ratchet?
So a group ratchet is one where I basically have a ratchet which encrypts the series of...
What's a ratchet?
Okay. That's the easy one. Okay, so a ratchet is an algorithm that generates a series of keys. And just like a mechanical ratchet, it can only go forwards. So it's kind of useful so that you can't reverse. If you get a key later on in the sequence, you can't use it to attack the previous conversation you didn't have access to. And a group ratchet is one of those, except it's one which is doing one-to-many rather than one-to-one.
Okay,
so basically everybody in the room has one of these ratchets, and they go and use it to generate the keys for the messages they send. And they send the message once, and everybody else in the room needs to have a copy of that ratchet in order to decrypt it. So the question is, how do you get them a copy of that ratchet? Well, that's how you use the normal signal-style one-to-one stuff. So basically, we've tried to solve the holy grail of group asynchronous encrypted one-to-one communications in a manner better than Signal or WhatsApp or Wire or any of the other systems out there. And hopefully it works. There are still a couple of bugs in the beta right now. Sometimes you can't decrypt messages about 2% of the time, but we're working on it, and it's generally pretty good.
Okay, excellent stuff. Gosh, that's a lot.
Sorry.
No, not sorry. There is no way you can do this in your spare time.
Yep, correct. It's a huge initiative because we're creating a whole ecosystem of interoperable communication. Our history is originally that we were doing proprietary commercial messaging apps for telecoms companies, and we did that for about 10 years. And honestly, it got a bit depressing because why, as an end user, would you install another messaging app that's a silo from your phone operator, of all people? So we basically had a choice to either quit or try to do something crazy like Matrix. And we went to our corporate overlords and said, hey, crazy idea. Why don't we go open source and non-profit and build Matrix? And they said, well, okay then. And that was 2 years ago. So we're basically being paid as an existing team of about 16 people to go completely off message, create Matrix, try to terraform a whole new industry. And if it exists and it works, it's kind of like the web. No, the actual standard is open and completely flexible for anybody. And it still means that big companies can go and provide hosted services, and they can provide carrier-grade deployments or whatever, and it kind of works both for the end user and for the big companies, and hopefully everybody wins.
Who is the big corporate overlord then?
So the corporate overlord is a company called Amdocs, who do billing solutions for telcos primarily. They're 35 years old as of last week, and this is the first time they've done open source, but so far it's been a cautiously positive success, I would say.
Oh, fair fucks to them, really. Oh, well done.
So yeah, I mean, that's basically where Matrix is at. In the coming year, we're getting to the point where we're starting to see spam on the network. So there's going to be...
Then you know you're becoming popular.
Oh yes, yeah, indeed. We welcomed our first spammer a couple of weeks ago in a very... we didn't welcome them particularly with open arms, but it really becomes shows how relevant it is that we need to solve the decentralized reputation problem for spam, and that is basically the same as solving spam for SMTP. But the good news is that we're making up our own protocols, so we can hopefully engineer it in a much better way than email ever could, but that's going to be a huge focus in the coming year. That and threading, because we don't yet have threaded conversations, and that's really important for bridging to email and to message boards and to forums.
You can bridge to email as well?
We can, but it sucks because without threading you just get this big long
blob.
So we really have to get threading in there. Whatever things are on the horizon. There's so much stuff going on at the moment. A whole new server implementation. So we're moving away from Python to Golang. Yeah. So we're just putting the first touches to the first build of Dendrite, which is the name of the Golang server. And this is a highly scalable, horizontally sort of scalable server that uses append-only log-based architecture. So you have lots of different components for different rooms and different presence and all the other different sync, receiving messages, federating. They're all split off into their own separate service, and they're all glued together by a big decentralized message bus internally, so they can cluster as much as you like, which is very different to Synapse, which is a single monolithic blob of Python, basically.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun.
Wow, you're going to be busy.
Oh yeah, no, this year is going to be kind of make or break for us. If we can fix the spam problem and the scalability stuff, then there's no reason why it can't just explode and replace the phone network, which is basically what we were aiming for.
Okay, awesome. Listen, thank you very much for taking the time, and I really hope you wish you good luck with FOSDEM and the coming year.
Indeed, thank you very much. It's been great to chat.
No problem.